There you go. At least you didn't say mall. You know, I'm happy with that. Hi, everyone. My name is Teresa, and I'm an alcoholic. And it's truly by the grace of God that I'm alive or sober. And I look out at all these young faces and feel really old. You know, and I know that y'all are the lifeblood of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. I sobered up in 1995 in Houston, Texas. And I went to my first AA meeting in 1977 at Rust State Mental Institution. I was an alcoholic from age 12, from the first drink. I had a blackout at the first drink. It took me lots of places. I guess to qualify, I always felt like I didn't fit in. I'd like to tell you that we moved around or that something happened or, you know, we lived in the same damn house for 20 years with a mother that was Pentecostal and I felt adopted. I don't know why that was. I wasn't adopted. I asked. But, you know, drinking was my game. I did it in high school. I thought it was cool. For my 18th birthday, when you finally turn legal in Texas, I was chasing cars naked. I guess down a road like y'all would call Nebraska Avenue. And they put me in a mental institution because it seems like LSD and acid and drinking don't all mix together. And when I got out of there, I was a paranoid schizophrenic with homicidal tendencies. And the baby was sick. And I had a great enabler. My father would dust it off. He would clean it up, he would fix it up, and he'd put it back on the road. And he would promise it a car if it didn't drink. He would promise it an apartment if it didn't drink. And I would stay straight just long enough to get what I wanted. They sent me to Alcoholics Anonymous when I got out of Rust State Hospital. And I went to a old seamen's group at 18 years old. They were all about Dick's age. And 100 or whatever that is, you know. And my father drove me up there, and I was about y'all's age. And, you know, I said, I came to an AA meeting, and they gave me a big ration of shit and told me they had spilt more beer than I drank, and I said, and that I didn't need to be there. They told me this. And I said, can you tell my father he's in the car? And they went and got him, and when they got through with him, he didn't think I needed to be there either. So I didn't go back to Alcoholics Anonymous till 1984 because of a DUI. And during this time, while I was on probation and going to AA, I got 4.5 years being the only female in an all-men's group in Houston. And I was not working any program, just working men as I could go. And my father died. And that 4.5 years went right out the window. I don't even know how I got it. But I got 5 DUIs in 2 months. I did jail time, I did prison time, I did probation time, I did no driver's license time, and I did a mental institution again. They thought I had dual personality disorder this time. And every time they medicated me, I wanted to drink. Every time. Whatever they put me on, once it changed the way I felt, it made me want to drink, and I drank. So I drank with whatever they put me on. So it was a long haul of deciding that I couldn't do anything. You know, by the time I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, the last time I'd been married 5 times, had lost my children, had did more jail time, more institutions, more insanities, more trying to kill myself. Sometimes in earnest, sometimes I don't even remember wanting to kill myself. And I woke up in a detox center again. This was like the 1800th one. I don't know. I lost count. You know, I like those people that know the dates and whatever they did. You know, in 1972. I don't even know where I was in 1972. But I woke up in a treatment center in 1991, and it was full of women like me. And these were women that I knew and had drank in bars that I drank, and they were talking about their life. Not their steps, but what it felt like to be sober and pick the wrong man. Y'all know that? Crying because they didn't have their children. I didn't have my children. Some of them were crying because they did have their children. They had gotten them back. It was ugly. You know, and for the first time, I bought into Alcoholics Anonymous. But I wasn't going to do it. I seem to have a plan where you find a man, he fixes you, he gives you what you want, and you just stay sober because you got what you want. And I tried that program again, and it didn't work again. And I'd gotten my kids back, lost them again. And I pretty much wanted to die. And now my drink of choice was alcohol, but once I take a drink, I'm going to do whatever you have or whatever I can find. And I do some deadly shit. I put some combinations together. And it doesn't work. You know, so I wanted to die. I spent 2 weeks at the dope house where they were trying to throw me out. And they were threatening to kill me, which I thought was a good idea, and they didn't get that. So I couldn't drink. You know, when I got out of that dope house, I couldn't keep any liquor down. I got dehydrated or whatever. And the thought came to my mind, which had been planted all along, to call those folks in AA. Call them. So I called this girl that I had roommated in a detox, and I knew she was still sober because they would call me every once in a while. And they would say, "Teresa, how you doing?" I say, "Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I went out last night and I woke up with Spider, and, you know, it was all good. I had a really great time." You know, and they'd say, "Well, where'd you meet him?" "I really don't know. Where is he now?" "I really don't know." But it was fun. Trust me, it was fun. So she said she would come and get me, and I said, "Okay." And I was trying to drink this Bush beer that wouldn't stay down. I had my little bushel basket of go-to-detox stuff together with my old big book on top. A lot of y'all have seen that old book sitting down at the red door. It's been drunk a few times. It really has. But I kept it. You know, and I thought there was something gifted about it or something. And I called her back because she didn't show up really quick. And I said, "You need to hurry up," and so I'm on my way. And she put me in detox one more time on the telephone. I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm willing to go and do whatever and blah, blah." You know, and I went to detox again. I was 38 years old. I would have rather died. And I didn't think it was going to be any fun. And these people that had been patting me on the ass for the last 20 years in Alcoholics Anonymous became mean. They gave me no slack. They didn't give me any, "Oh, baby, we're glad to see you." I called my sponsor I'd had for this past years, you know, and I said, "Look, I'm in the detox and I'm sobering up again." And she said, "You know what to do, do it," and hung up on me. And I pretty much slung a lot of snot. "Oh, my God, nobody loves me," you know. And she came up to the treatment center after I'd been in there. She came on the third day, and she said, "Are you going to get sober?" And I said, "Oh, just for today." And, you know, she could have just, you could have just imagined it, you know, imagine just anger. And she said, I'm trying to be nice. She said, "F you and you're just for today. You're either in here or you're out. We don't want to see your stinky ass no more." This was Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And she said, "You know what to do." And she gave me this one thing. She said, "You need to talk to this guy named Wayne J. that came to the treatment center and talk to him every day." This old guy wouldn't talk to me. I would sit down beside him and I'd say, "My name is Teresa and I'm an alcoholic and my sponsor told me to talk to you," and he'd get up and move without a word. And so I pretty thought I was doomed. I almost got thrown out. You had to have a bra in the treatment center. They were going to throw you out, so I called and I said, "Oh, I get to get," I was so happy, "they're going to throw me out, of don't have a bra." And I had a group, you know, that, and they brought bras. Guys on motorcycles brought bags of bras. I don't know where they were getting them, but I didn't get to get out. I stayed in there. And I decided to do whatever those motherfuckers told me to do. I'll show them. And that was almost 17 years ago. And I've been doing it. You know, the first step, you know, I knew I was an alcoholic. Let's read the writing on the wall. You know, if you have a blackout, you might be an alcoholic. How many of y'all ever had a blackout? Ding, ding, ding. You know, hey. How many of y'all been married more than once? Y'all are young. Well, there's a few of them. How many of y'all been in 20 relationships? Okay. You know, but they love them. Still love them, don't you? I still love all my exes. Anyway, so I get into this treatment center, and I'm doing what they tell me to do, and I've got an ex out here at the dope house, and I fall in love again at 13 days sober. This old boy had a free trip to Florida, and he needed somebody to ride with him. And I was in the detox center, and you only got to stay 13 days, and you didn't have nowhere to go afterwards. So I fell in love again, and I've been married to him almost 16 years. You know, it does work once in a great while, but it'll kill a lot of people. Honestly, it'll kill a lot of people. I wanted to say that just because it worked doesn't mean it's all good. I've had to work the steps with that sponsor who hated me. You know, okay, I'm an alcoholic. I said that in the bars. I'm an alcoholic. That's why. I was also a big victim. Everybody mistreated me. Nobody understood. Nobody loved me. And I had to quit all that, and I had to become responsible for my life. So I'm an alcoholic, and I'm powerless over alcohol. And my life is unmanageable. 5 kids that I don't know where a few of them still are today. The ones that I had closest to me are so screwed up, you could just imagine. Unmanageable. What does that mean to y'all? You know what it meant to me? Finances. I didn't have the right boy to handle my finances. And my daddy had died. That's not exactly what it meant. You know, it's meant a lot of different things in a lot of different years. Powerless. Not just over alcohol. I'm powerless over a whole lot of stuff. You know, and that's a design for living for me. This is a design for living. You know, when I come to a problem, that's my first deal is I'm powerless. Houston, I have a problem. The man's not acting right. The child is not acting right. I done got myself into some shit again. I am powerless over all these people that just, if I just do what I say, I could just fix you. I could fix you. I can't fix me, but trust me, I could fix you. You know, this power greater than ourselves, that was a little stumpy for me. Insanity was a little stumpy. Today I get insanity. I still have it sober. Doing the same thing, expecting different results. Trying to control people. Put my little feelings out there to get hurt. You know, all that good stuff we do. It comes out sometimes with my children, trying to fix them. Trying to be the best grandma you could be. Whatever it comes out in, you know. Learning to be me. You know, and learning from my mistakes. That this is a mistake. And owning it. A power greater than myself. I had a little trouble with that because of my Pentecostal snake charming background. I didn't think it was a good idea. But I did it anyway. I got up every morning and I asked God to keep me sober. An old guy told me that if you say the third step prayer every day for 30 days, a miracle will happen in your life. And I had a whole bunch of shit. You know, I had exes and new ones and kids and law, and I'd lost a couple of cars that weren't mine. And so I did that third step prayer on the way to Florida in a little notebook, because I wasn't trustworthy to just, oh yeah, I prayed. I wrote it down, and I went to that old guy at 30 days, and I said, look, it didn't work. You don't understand. They're still trying to put me in a mental institution. I still have warrants out there. I have a kid that wants to come home that I can't handle, and I have a kid that doesn't want to come home that I wish I had. He said, girl, are you sober? Sober. I was sober. That's where it all starts. If I don't get sober, I don't have nothing to build on. So I was sober, and I was humbled. You know, it ain't about fixing all that other shit. It's about getting sober. I didn't have any of that other shit. I thought I did. All I had were problems. You know? I got sober. So it worked. You know? And I did it. And I believe today. I have a conscious contact with God. Not an unconscious contact. He doesn't call me on the cell phone or white lightning. You know, he works through people most of the time. But I have to put forth the effort to make that contact in the morning and at night and whenever else I need to. You know, sometimes minutely, sometimes hourly, sometimes daily. You know, it all depends on my reaching for him. I did that four step. It was ugly. I did a real beautiful one, but my sponsor had a different spin on it than I had. And my part in it became real evident. And that's what I use today in my life when I get into a problem. I use that inventory. You know, what's my part in it? My problems are of my own making. Selfish and self-centered. Afraid. You know, what's my part? That's the same thing I use today when I'm having a problem. When my husband's not acting right or my grandbaby or somebody. You know, what's my part in it? Character defects and these shortcomings. These are the harder ones because I'm still, you know, I have some things that y'all don't like and I have some things that I don't like. And entirely ready when I did that four step with my sponsor, absolutely. The next day, not so much. And I only, when they cause me problems, do I look at those and want to change. It's all about change. It's having an open mind. You know, do I think I know everything? I've been there, got that chip. You know, I was white too. And, you know, made a list, made those amends. I've made all those amends today. Some of them went really well. They love me. Some of them forgave me. Some of them told me to move to Florida. You know, and not come back. Have my family relations all cleared up? No. No, I did some real damage. I was there a long time. There's a lot of stuff that's repairable. There's a lot of stuff that's not. But, you know, the forgiveness that I have on the inside for at least being willing to do that. You know, being willing to do that. It's a good thing. You know, real good. Do I continue to take personal inventory? Absolutely. You know, I'm still a work in progress. I'm high maintenance to the max, man. To the max. I need to make meetings. You know, when I moved here to Florida in 2000, right at 4.5 years, so I didn't think I'd get 5 because y'all were messed up. You did not do Alcoholics Anonymous. Everybody around here was going, oh, I love you. It's okay. Just do it. You're like, y'all will kill me. You know, y'all going to let me just run them up, down. And so I quit going. And you know, I'd show up every once in a while, let them see who I was, tell them how great I was, how they were all fucked up, and all of this crazy stuff. And in 2004, I got a big resentment. This is about the time the red door starts. I was going to drink. I hadn't been making AA meetings. I hadn't been praying, and I hadn't been doing anything, and I was still using my sponsor in Texas. And she told me to go back to the basics at 9 years sober, which meant, you know, I had to be explained to me at 9 years sober that that meant 90 meetings in 90 days. It meant to be of service. It meant to go back through those steps. It meant a whole lot of things that I didn't want to do, but I did them again, unwillingly. My life opened up. You people, the YPG came into my life. The red door came into my life. I haven't slacked up on my program since. I've got an open mind. I've got a lot of new ideals from you guys, man. Y'all got some going on things. You know? I like that. Service work. Work with another alcoholic. You know? I do all of those things when I can today. My life has gotten so much better. I was voted most least likely to succeed in Alcoholics Anonymous. And what I did with Alcoholics Anonymous was use it. I didn't work the steps. The program didn't work for me. I had to work it. I came around and I used and abused everybody that I could in Alcoholics Anonymous until they got tired of my shit. What does that mean?
It's a 2-minute.
Oh, okay. Good. I thought, oh, shit, that means. Okay, I still got 15 minutes, you guys, so you don't have to drag it on. You know, my job is to help you get sober now. You know, my job is to leave the light on now. My job is to grow an understanding of y'all, not yet that y'all understand me. I always thought it was the other way around, you know. When y'all get grown up, y'all will understand me. But it's been a miracle to see so many people grow up, get married, have children, be happy. You know, there was a time that this group was, what, 8 people? It was one little girl, and I think she loved everybody, especially some in here. You know who you are. Yeah, don't be laughing. Wasn't you. Anyway, you know, to watch it grow and just flower and blossom is amazing to me. You know, the red door was opened up on a resentment, and all it took was a coffee pot and a starter up. And y'all are a big part of that thing. I wanted to tell this, too, because the rumor, we got a new landlord at the red door. This is our 4th one. He probably will sell the property again. Who knows if they'll tear it down. If you want a new building, help us look for one. If you don't, we'll stay there till. You know, I don't have any plan that nobody said it's going to be shut down tomorrow or the 18th of March or whatever it was that was going on. This is our 3rd landlord, and God has seen fit to keep us there this long. That's a miracle. It's a miracle in my life. You know, I'd rather scrub floors and mop than talk to another alcoholic. People tend to say that I have an attitude. I don't know where they get that. They kind of say I'm scary. I could be. I don't know. But, you know, I'm sober today. You know, that's what you come in here and have no idea what you're going to get. And I got a life beyond, just beyond it. I was unemployable. I never did anything but bartend, titty dance. Y'all can believe that. You know, if you drink long and hard enough, you'll look like me when you sober up. Come on. Hey. Is that scary? Okay. You know? So I had to go to school at 38. It's not fun. Feel old. I seem to feel old a lot. You know? I became employable. I kept the same husband. I've had the same cat. You know? I have lived in the same building for 12 years. That's amazing to me. My shit was in a garbage bag, and it would go wherever he was that loved me that day. You know? And I would fall in love. And he would fall in love with whoever I was showing up, you know, to be at that time. Oh, I'm so sweet. You know? And then he would screw the toothpaste wrong, and divorce would be on. You know? Oh, my God. Or Betty Crocker would cut it off. You know what I mean? Y'all ever did that? I'm going to cook for you, darling. I love you. I cook for you every day at 6 o'clock. And then you come home one day and she says, get your own shit, man. I'm tired. You know? Whatever. You know? I've had to grow up here. You know? And it's been amazing. It's been an amazing trip to look at myself honestly. You know, I had to learn about sheet count in sheets. It still kind of baffles me a little bit. You know, I had to get out my paper and notes on it. I thought if it was pretty, it worked. If it felt good, lay on it, hell. If it's clean, fairly clean. You know, I've had to learn a lot that I never grew up. I was drunk, and I had other people taking care of me. You guys are stupid sometimes, man. Y'all are just so dumb. You know. Oh, yes, I love you. Ah. You know. And then you go, what's your name? Who are you? Do you have an apartment and a car? Hey. Anyway, you know, growing up in a relationship in Alcoholics Anonymous has been a tough one. My husband holds me responsible for my own life and my own crap. He has a year more sober than I am. He was a little more deadly serious about killing himself than I was. He stepped out in front of a SWAT team. and tried suicide by cops, and they shot him 7 times. And he still had to go to AA. So, it's not like he's going to give me a whole lot of slack, you know? He's going to say, okay, it's okay. You know, he doesn't do that. He says shit like, call your sponsor, or what principle is that? Or how is that working for you? Or can't you just be quiet? He has this look that he gives me that means don't say it. I don't know if my eyes are, you know, up here, or I'm fixing to say some shit. You know? This hasn't been a popularity contest for me this time. It was always before. Show me who your friends are and I'll show you who you are. You know? I haven't had a network this time in sobriety. My network is very small. I don't know why. You know, it works for some people, it doesn't for others. I don't know how that goes. Every time before I had an entourage. These are the people that love me. They co-signed my shit and they made me feel better about myself. I don't need those today. I always did before. I always needed somebody to let me know I was okay instead of knowing that I was okay. Has this been... You got a thing? Am I... You don't have another one? Damn. All right. I still pray. I still make mistakes. I still have to go back and clean them up. I've given myself the dignity to be human today. Everything that I am today is a direct result of trying to live this program. Not rework it. We get a lot of that. I'm working it again. I'm working it. You know, I went through it with a sponsor who shared her experience, strength, and hope. The bigger thing is to look out here and see you people living that. See death go on and people not drink behind it. See them get married. See them get divorced. See them get children. You know, car wrecks, accidents, unemployed. Don't drink no matter what happens. No matter what. That's so free. You know, I get to come to Alcoholics Anonymous. I get to come. It used to be I had to come. You know, but today it's a privilege. It's a privilege to stand up in front of you guys. You know, and see the future of Alcoholics Anonymous. I hope you do a good job. I'm glad that in the back, even though I don't see you guys so much, because I'm getting older and older, you know, I was going to tell y'all how old I was when y'all started coming around and how old I am now, but oh, fuck that. I'm old. You know, I'm old. And so I go to bed early, but I know y'all are there, and I see signs that y'all are there, though y'all need to clean up more. Anyway, that's another deal. I hear those little things like, I know come from this group, y'all. I have a sponsor, and I sponsor people, or that one y'all say. I love that one, yeah. Service work, you know. Don't tell these guys you want to get sober. They'll go get you, damn. Yeah, they'll get on it. You know, there was a place called the Wheelhouse in Texas, and a guy told this guy that he wanted to get sober, and they chained him to a bed. And there's a picture of him walking down the street at the Wheelhouse, carrying the bed. And the police knew him, so they took him back to the Wheelhouse. And said, yeah, keep him. Those steps have given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. I'm able to handle life today. I know peace. I know peace. I'm contented with the life I had. I had never been contented with anything. Not the man. Not a house. I always wanted to be somewhere else with somebody else at some time. She got one. I knew she had another one. I got 5 minutes, y'all. Anyway, you know, this is about helping yourself. You know, we're here to help you if you want to get sober, not to hurt you. Do you love yourself enough to want to get sober? I didn't. You know? People loved me. In spite of what I did to them. In these rooms. I got drunk in my sponsor's car. I taught big book study drunk. They barred me from the AA club for picking up men one time. Can you imagine that? It's been hard for me. You know, my mama told me I was a good girl. I just drank a little much. She didn't know me. I'd never let her know me. You know? Doing the right thing is sometimes hard. Doing the wrong thing was so easy for me all along. It seemed like my only life. The only one I knew. And I didn't want to leave it. What do I give it up for? To hang out with y'all? Damn right. Damn right. Look at these faces. It's a new generation. You know? If you need help, ask for it. If you need help, ask for it. That's so hard. Why is that so hard? We sit in these meetings every day and say, ask for help, ask for help, ask for help. You know? The longer I stay sober, the harder it gets. Y'all might know I need help. Oh, my God. You know? Life is good today. You know, learn to love yourself. Get a sponsor. Work these steps. Learn to live this program. Make meetings. Do service work. Work with others. You know, when somebody reaches out for help, help them. Even if they're telling you how. You know, that's what we do. I need help. Well, here's what I want you to do for me. You know? It's all good. You know, I want to say thank you. You know, thank you for being a part of my life and keeping me sober. That's it.